When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. Joining me is Billboard.com senior editor Katie Atkinson.
Hello, Keith.
Hi, Katie.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
I like your raspy voice.
I have a little bit of the Kathleen Turner going on right now.
Or Kim Carnes.
Yeah, that's more Pop Shop appropriate.
Right. Your eyes.
I have Betty Davis eyes today.
Your eyes
today.
Are so Betty Davis-like. Well, as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the week's big pop news, fun chart stats and stories, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Pop! On this week's show, we have an interview with YouTube superstar Connor Franta. Because he has his own record label called Heard Well, which has released a series of compilations, many of which have charted on Billboard's charts. So he came into the office to talk about his label and also a lot of the other stuff he's working on. He had this great charitable endeavor that he did called, he was raising money for the Thirst Project, where he like built wells in Africa.
Man.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars.
In his spare time.
In his spare time. He and his followers raised a ton of money. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about his Common Culture brand of clothing and music and coffee. He's got a book. And also, he's best friends with Troye Sivan.
A Pop Shop favorite.
There's a lot of music to talk about with Connor Franta. So stay tuned for Connor's interview. That'll be later on in the show. Plus, we will be talking about how we have a new number one album on the Billboard 200 chart this week. But it's not a brand new album. That's right. Chris Stapleton re-enters the chart at number one following his breakthrough night on the CMA Awards last week. We'll talk all about that. It's crazy.
Yes.
It's exciting. Super awesome. And Katie actually, I think, might be a new fan of Chris.
I'm a new fan. He's found a new fan. I'm one of the many new fans after last week.
You were part of the breakthrough moment. We also have lots of hot action on the Billboard Hot 100, including a debut straight into the top 10. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about how Coldplay has a new single.
Yay.
It's kind of disco-y.
Yes. Talk disco about Coldplay.
Disco play.
Discoldplay.
And there's a showdown, a brewin, for number one on the Billboard 200 in the next week or two when One Direction and Justin Bieber go head-to-head. Oof. Oh, boy. their new albums come out this Friday. That will be craziness. We'll mm-hmm. talk about that as well. But first, some housekeeping notes. If you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss an episode. And while you're at it, give us a rating or review us while you're on iTunes. If you have any questions for us, you can tweet us at Keith_Caulfield or at KT Atkinson. You can also tweet us through the Billboard account, I suppose.
Might be quicker to just tweet us.
Yeah, it might be quicker to just tweet us. It might get lost.
They get a few more tweets.
They've got a few more followers.
Yeah.
And of course, if you want to explore more from the world of podcasts at Billboard, visit itunes.com/billboardpodcasts. So, topic number one. Chris Stapleton.
Yay, Chris Stapleton.
My notes in front of me just say, wow.
Seriously.
Just nuts. So, in brief, what happened?
Well, he basically owned the CMA Awards last week.
Which were last Wednesday, I think, November 4th.
He won every award he was nominated
for. All three of them, yep.
including album of the year,
male vocalist,
new artist, yep. Beating huge competition in all of those categories.
I mean, huge competition in all the categories, some of which he's actually written for previously.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
And he beat out Sam Hunt, which I think a lot of people thought was going to win for new artist.
Yeah. Luke Bryan won Entertainer of the Year, right. And Chris Stapleton beat him for Male Vocalist of the Year. Right. I mean, it was crazy. Like, he just owned it. And then he also had the best performance of the night, coming out with Justin Timberlake for a little duet of his song Tennessee Whiskey and Justin's song Drink You Away.
Right.
And by far the most talked about performance of the entire evening.
I think it probably helped that. And I watched the first, I guess, hour of the show.
Okay. It was 3 hours long.
It was a long show. They're always long.
Yeah.
I watched the first hour, and that performance was pretty great.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
I think it's just one of those... It's one of those, and I explained in my story that's on Billboard.com, the reason why this album has such a huge reaction, and we should probably tell you what the numbers are. So Traveler is the name of the album. That won for Album of the Year. It re-enters the Billboard 200 at number one. That is the first time an album has ever re-entered at number one.
It's crazy. It was not even in the 200. Nope. Like, that's the craziest thing about this.
Not even on the chart last week.
Not even on the chart. 200 albums on the chart. Not there, and then number one.
Yeah. It re-enters with 177,000 equivalent album units earned in the week ending November 5th. Now, that's up over 6,000% from the 3,000 units in the previous week. And of that 177,000, 153,000 were in pure album sales. And that's up 6,400%. It only sold 2,000 copies in the week previous. And also, what's pretty crazy is that the CMA Awards were November 4th. The end of our tracking week for the new charts was November 5th. So he effectively sold all of this and moved all these units in about
a day and
hours.
4 hours, yeah. Maybe? Yeah.
Like, whatever handful of hours were left on Wednesday night, yeah. Plus all of Thursday.
Yeah.
And it was almost all digital.
Yeah.
And... it's looking like his album will probably hold on to number one next week.
Wow.
Because there wasn't a whole heck of a lot that came out last Friday. Ellie Goulding, I think, has the biggest album that was a brand new album.
Yeah.
And also, this is just like a moment for Chris Stapleton, yeah. Because if you watch the CMA Awards, you discovered someone.
Totally.
That you, despite the fact that this album came out in May.
Yep.
I don't think most country fans were aware of him.
Yeah, he was one of those people, I think if you really follow country music, you knew of him as a songwriter. You knew he wrote some of the biggest hits.
Yeah, if you're like a big country geek, you're like a music geek, you're like, and you follow songwriters.
And then for me, the first time I had really seen him perform was, it was a CMT, they do this thing where they celebrate like the 5 CMT Artists of the Year kind of thing.
Okay.
They do it like every December. And one year, I think it must have been last year, 2 years ago, I can't quite remember, but Luke Bryan was one of the artists, and he had a family tragedy and couldn't come to the show. And Chris Stapleton filled in and sang the song Drink a Beer, which he wrote for Luke Bryan.
Yeah.
He sang it with Lady Antebellum. And so they had Chris Stapleton and Lady Antebellum come out and sing that song. And that was the first time I'd heard his voice, which is real raspy. And, you know, it's very like country rock, very southern, like Allman Brothers rock. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, and that was it. That was my moment. Like, oh, cool. Like, he was pretty good. But he'd never had this kind of exposure ever.
Yeah, this is his first solo studio album. He was in a couple bands previously, Steel Driver?
Yes, and Steel Drivers, which is still a band that now operates without him.
Yeah, yeah. Well.
Unfortunately for them.
So, yeah, I mean, I wonder, and then we'll move on from Stapleton, but I mean, it's one of those things where it's just like there's so much to say. It's such a huge moment for him, and you kind of think, does this mean he's going to be up for a bunch of Grammy Awards when they announce the Grammys?
I mean, we'll see.
I mean,
it might be a little late on that end.
Or maybe that was already in play a few weeks ago when they were doing the first ballot.
Yeah.
Like, maybe he was already in talks for new artist.
Yeah, and he has that thing, too, where he's an industry favorite, and that's who's, you know, doing the voting and doing the picking. So, you know, that helps him, too.
Wow. Well, congrats to Chris.
Yes.
Number one album. That's freaking amazing.
I bought one, Chris.
You did. should I investigate said album?
I think so. I mean, it's great. I mean, obviously he's a songwriter, so he writes great songs. Like, his songs are just really impeccable, and he's just got the coolest voice.
Yeah.
And the coolest vibe. I mean, that performance was just such like a jam session with him and Justin.
Yeah.
And that's like how the whole album feels, like just a real cool Southern rock album.
Also want to note that Tennessee Whiskey, which is the song, one of the two songs they performed, becomes Stapleton's first hit on the Hot 100 this week. Debuts at number 23 thanks to its strong sales. In fact, it was the second biggest selling digital song last week, second only to Adele's Hello. And I have it somewhere. How much did it sell? Tennessee Whiskey sold
a lot.
131,000 downloads last
wow.
week. So yeah, speaking of the Hot 100, Adele is still number one.
Mm-hmm.
We
yes.
almost got through a show without talking about Adele.
It's not going to happen for the
happen.
Next like few months.
Yeah. Hello is still number one for a second week. The song sold 635,000 downloads
which
in its second week.
Which is almost the record that it previously broke last week.
That is correct.
That's insane.
That is the third largest week for a digital song and the biggest week for a digital song that was not debuting.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that makes sense. That's,
because the record
yeah.
is Hello with 1.1.
Yep.
The second biggest is Flo Rida's Right Round with 636. And this is the third biggest or biggest for a non-debut
yep.
with 635.
Man. See, this is why we're not going to be able to not talk about Adele right. for a while.
You know, but there's good reason. I thought it was fun. Gary wrote this in his story, Gary Trust, who manages the Hot 100.
The other co-director
the
of
other
charts
co-director
at
of
Billboard.
Charts. He wrote that Hello also vaults 9 to 4 on the Adult Contemporary Airplay chart. And that is the first song, excluding holiday titles, to reach the top 5 in just 3 weeks.
Wow.
Since 2002. When Phil Collins' Can't Stop Loving You also reached the top 5 in just 3 weeks.
Which makes sense because the nature of AC radio stations is that they play songs you already know.
Right.
You know?
And they usually don't, like, jump on hot new tracks.
Yeah, totally.
It just doesn't really work that way. And there was that caveat about holiday songs. If you guys, I'm sure there's got to be some chart geeks that pay attention to the AC chart, and the AC chart has been around for decades. We talk about how we left out holiday songs from this because basically at Christmas time, the AC chart kind of turns into a Christmas chart.
It's like Christmas pop radio all of a sudden, yeah.
Because a bunch of adult contemporary radio stations
switched to it full time.
Switched
yep.
to almost exclusively Christmas yep. music yep. from like Thanksgiving to Christmas. So naturally, if you're going to have a new Christmas album from, say, Josh Groban or Michael mm-hmm. Bublé, a song will like jump into the top 5 in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So
yep.
removing those anomalies.
Yes.
Just kind of says something about...
I'm excited
about,
for Christmas radio time, Keith.
Oh, we are going to have so much Christmas programming.
Christmas radio.
We're going to have, like, all sorts of Christmas shows, favorite Christmas albums, favorite Christmas songs.
Love it.
Also, there's also other stuff happening, though, on the Hot 100. Ariana Grande's Focus debuts in the top 10. It debuts at number 7, powered by 113,000 in downloads. A really solid streaming debut of 13.3 million streams, which makes it one of the top 10 most streamed songs of the week. And also a pretty good start on radio, number 38 on our radio songs chart with 33 million in audience. This is her 6th top 10 single. It's the first single from her next album. I believe it's called Moonlight.
Yep.
Moonlight?
Yes.
You're going to just
because
say
we were
yes.
talking about it? No, we were talking about
it. I thought it was Honeymoon.
Exactly,
no.
But it was Moon. We were putting the moon,
moon
in the wrong place. Moonlight.
Honeylight. It's the name of Ariana Grande's new album. Comes out in 2018. No, the album comes out, I think, next year.
It does.
There's going to be a Ariana Grande and Arianator.
The
gonna...
Arianators.
Arianators. That still doesn't sound right. It just doesn't sound right. It sounds like I'm, like, breezing up the air in here. I'm, like, it's like an air filter.
Don't alienate the Arianators.
Yeah, that's
Keith.
Not what I mean. Here's a fun fact. This is her 6th top 10 hit on the Hot 100. Believe it or not, this is her first where it's only Ariana Grande credited.
Oh,
as the
yeah.
artist.
She has done a lot of duets. Like,
yes.
her big songs have had a rap feature or, like,
it's
a, or Weekend.
Yeah, or
her
it's
Weekend
Bang
duet.
Bang with Nicki
yeah.
and Jesse, where they all share equal billing.
Look, what a collaborative artist she is.
She is, indeed. The Ariana Grande. The Andrea Bocelli.
Oh, yes.
Track.
Yeah, which I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce that Italian right now.
Yep.
We'll let you go look up that yep. amazing Ariana Andrea duet.
Hit number one on the classical digital songs
Indeed.
Chart a few weeks ago.
Indeed.
What else is happening? Ooh, I know. Meghan Trainor enters the top 10 with
yeah.
Like I'm Gonna Lose You with John Legend. Featuring John Legend. The collaboration climbs in all metrics this week. It's hitting the top 10 on the digital songs chart. It's almost hitting the top 10 on the radio songs chart. It's number 11. And on the streaming songs chart, it reaches the top 20. It's funny, this album is almost a year old. Well, I mean, Tidal came out in January, but she had her EP out shortly before that.
And they performed that song at the Billboard Music Awards in May. But then it didn't really hit radio until like a month ago. But once it hit, it was like everywhere on radio.
I wonder, this single has had such a weird sort of like chart life, which kind of speaks, I guess, to the power of the song and how it's really hung on and how, you know, through all of her sort of medical issues and throat stuff, they've kind of, maybe they purposely didn't go full force with it at radio until
she could get out and perform it a little bit. Yeah.
Which she's been doing.
Yep.
It is the fourth single from her debut album, and it is her third top 10 hit on the Hot 100, following, of course, All At That Bass. All About That Bass. I need to enunciate slightly better. And Lips Are Movin', of course, All About That Bass went to number one, and Lips Are Movin' went to number four. The third single from the album, Dear Future Husband, reached number 14. Oops. Not quite top 10. But here's an interesting thing. Trainor is the first female artist to generate at least three top 10s on the Hot 100 from a debut album in more than 5 years. The last to do so was Kesha from Animal in 2010, believe it or not. There you go.
And we were just talking about Right Round, which Kesha had that amazing debut week with Flo Rida as well, Downloads.
She wasn't actually credited on that.
They credited her later, right? Once she became Kesha.
It's squishy.
It's a little squishy.
Yeah, I think maybe for like the first like hot second she was.
She can personally appreciate that achievement.
I think we all know she's still part of that achievement.
Yes.
But just not officially on the chart. What else is happening? Oh, a song that does not debut on the Hot 100, but will probably debut shortly, is Coldplay's new track.
Yes.
Which is sort of disco throwdown, hoedown.
It's called Adventure of a Lifetime.
Thanks. I had it on my notes. Adventure of a Lifetime. It's from their new album, A Head Full of Dreams, which comes out December 4th.
Allegedly their final album.
Well, I think it's their seventh studio album.
Okay.
So did they say it's their
They
last
said, album? Out of Chris Martin's mouth, final album.
Wow.
I really hope that's not true. I'm a big Coldplay fan, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what happens to what do they do?
I don't know. I get maybe Chris Martin goes solo, but like.
What about the rest of the band?
I know. They're so good together. They make such good music. I don't want to talk about it, actually.
Maybe they just call themselves something else.
Yeah. No, I mean, nope, I think that if it's the final Coldplay album, it probably means Chris Martin's going to do his own thing, wow. I would say. Yeah.
Well, here are my notes for the song. I called it Disco Inferno meets Lean On.
Yes.
By Major Lazer.
Yes.
You know, I want the disco ball to drop out of the ceiling, turn the spotlight on, put on your dancing shoes, you know, do some pointing in a polyester suit.
Yeah,
but it's not a complete throwback.
Well, it's funny. They teased the song by just doing that, the kind of jangly intro looped over and over again. And when I heard that, I thought, oh, okay, like this seems, you know, like upbeat Coldplay song, but then when the actual song came and it kicks into those verses, it is disco. It is super, super disco.
It is pretty disco-y.
I love it.
I do think it's still, I mean, it is very throwback, but at the same time, it still feels like it's not like,
it's like Get Lucky throwback. Not like all the way disco throwback.
It's a throwback in a good way where it doesn't seem weird.
Yeah.
I think the key line in the song, the key lyric is, you make me feel like I'm in love again.
Yeah.
A lot of people are interpreting that in various ways because of Chris Martin's personal life, which I'm not going to speculate too much on. But I think it could be just sort of a sentiment that you have about sort of anything. I mean, a lot of songs that people talk about, you know, like, because people are asking Adele, like, oh, what does hello mean?
Right.
And she's like, well, it actually kind
of... It's a lot of things.
It's about a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's about me reconnecting with people that I knew before I became famous.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it could be about relationships, but it's just an emotion that you feel. It's not specifically about one person.
Yeah.
And I think Taylor Swift has said the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, with
it's
her
like
songs.
A composite of many different things.
Certainly there was probably an inspiration. And then, you know, you kind of like take an overarching feel and channel that into a song.
I think one of the things I like most about this song is how the lyrics match the beat and the melody and the song. It's like the most upbeat sounding song, and then the lyrics are like really happy and like
As opposed to a big up-tempo song with, like, really depressing lyrics.
Right, which, I mean, Coldplay's given us that before, too. They're good at that as well. But, like, I just like how happy this song is.
And you said you're a big Coldplay geek, right?
Yes.
Is this the most up-tempo they've gotten with a single?
I mean, their last big hit was Sky Full of Stars, which, like, you could argue. I mean, it's kind of an EDM song.
Okay.
So, but it's a little bit more mid-tempo than this one is. So maybe, I mean, as far as their radio songs, yeah.
Right.
I mean, because everything is typically pretty quiet, slow, mellow, except for when they add a little beat, like they did with Sky Full of Stars.
It's a far cry from Yellow.
Yes, which I love. I love it all, though. Like, they've evolved a ton, but, like, I'm here for it all.
Yeah. You're going to see them this Friday, aren't
you? I am, yeah. They're going to play the Belasco Theater in downtown L.A., which is, like, 2,500 capacity.
You and just 2,500 of your closest friends.
I'm dying. I can't even. Yeah. So I'll report back next week for sure.
Wow.
On my religious experience at the Coldplay show.
Fun fact, did you know that the band's first album, Parachutes, was released 15 years ago this
week
in the U.S.?
Wow. I did not know that.
The album originally came out, I think, in July in the U.K., in England, where they're from. July of 2000, but it came out in America on November 7th, 2000, and of course it generated the hit singles Yellow, Shiver, and Trouble, all of which reached the alternative songs chart. So,
yes,
yeah.
I remember that being a slow burn.
Yeah, well, Yellow was one of those songs that kind of like percolated for a while.
Yeah. Yep.
And Parachutes also didn't exactly like, it was one of those albums that was also back in the day where albums used to do that. Used to grow from a low rank and move up the chart.
And then just stay, never leave, just keep staying there.
Still there. Still on the chart. No, it's not. More chart action. There's a big showdown. We talked about this earlier. This Friday, there are two new albums coming out that in any normal week would probably be a lock for number one.
Mm-hmm.
But if nothing else comes out, it would appear that one of these two albums will not be number one.
Yeah.
And that would mean that either Justin Bieber's new album Purpose or One Direction's new album Made in the AM, which both come out on November 13th.
Gonna have to settle for number two.
One of them will settle for number two.
Yeah. Even if they sell more albums than they've ever sold in their whole career, they'll settle
number
for number two.
Yes. Even if they both have their best week ever, the other one is going to be number one.
Yep.
Now, this is all said barring... like Drake dropping a new mixtape on Friday.
Kanye put Swish out, surprise, that day.
You know, a Beyonce album.
Adele decides
to move up her album.
Oh, man, that would be so mean.
Yeah, because Adele's album, 25, comes out the following Friday.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, you know what, boys? I'm just going to take this one.
I'm just feeling like I want to get a head start on Thanksgiving shopping. So, yeah. Who do you think? Because you don't really know anything about the sales stuff, and we haven't really reported on the sales aspect or like you know what industry forecasters think.
We don't have the clear picture just yet.
We don't have quite the clear picture, and I think with this particular situation, it's really something you want to wait until at least you have the first day.
Oh yeah, you don't want to get either fan group riled
and
up.
Also, I just want to be right.
Yeah,
I just
Billboard enjoys being right.
I enjoy actually reporting things correctly.
Yes,
That
is a funny thing to do on the internet.
Based on
era.
A gut feeling, what do you think might happen?
My gut feeling is One Direction.
Really?
Yeah, and sorry Bieber, and sorry Believers, but my gut feeling is like this whole like we're gonna go on a hiatus afterward. Like this is kind of it for a while.
Song.
Yeah, like I just feel like. You know, obviously Bieber has a lot of momentum right now, a lot of great like radio like singles that have been doing well. But I feel like One Direction's fans are going to really, really show up on this one.
I feel like it's sort of the you could argue for Bieber the other direction where Bieber is, as you say, having this moment where he's having solid mainstream radio success. With What Do You Mean, which followed Where Are You Now, his collaboration.
And now Sorry is everywhere,
and
too.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And whereas One Direction, Drag Me Down, has done okay, but it hasn't set the world on fire.
And there hasn't been any other big radio movement from the album yet.
And so I feel like Justin is sort of ascending, and One Direction is in a different place because of where they are at without Zayn. The tour ended. You know, so I don't know. I mean, I think it could go certainly either way. And I think both fan bases, and I'm sure there's a lot of shared fans.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Are probably both looking to see who's going to come out on top,
too.
Yep. So we'll know more about that, you know, once the albums actually drop.
It's a big Pop Shop showdown right here.
Yeah. We were looking at some interesting, I've got a huge printout in front of me, some interesting showdowns in the past of when two big albums came out at the same time. For what it's worth, One Direction's last album, before we move on to the great matchups in history,
yeah.
One Direction's last album, 4, which came out last year, did 387,000 in its first week. Justin's last album was Believe in 2012. It did 374,000 in its first week. Both albums debuted at number one. Also on the line is that One Direction, all four of their previous albums debuted at number one.
Oh, man.
So that would kind of break up a streak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like Zayn would send out a congratulatory tweet to Justin Bieber if that happened.
some big matchups in previous history. Previous history. Those two words mean the same thing almost. Previous history.
Yep.
I think
that
one,
old history.
That old history. That stuff that happened in the past. Historical items. I think the one that everyone thinks of is the Kanye West 50 Cent showdown.
Oh, easily. Yeah.
With Graduation and Curtis back in 2007.
Speaking of one artist on the come up and one maybe on their decline, that was kind of that scenario.
Kanye came out on top that week. Graduation debuted at number one with 957,000 copies sold. That was a very big deal. 50 Cent, kind of a little bit farther behind. Number two, 691,000.
Still a gigantic week.
Still probably bigger than it would have been had it not been.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The hullabaloo.
There's a lot of other showdowns too, but it is notable that usually people try to avoid this.
Yes,
labels and artists don't really. They all want to be number one,
right?
So if you see yourself going head to head with someone,
you move.
It. You move.
You get claim out of the way. Your dates, and then you move around that.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that's notable about these two showdowns, the 50 Cent Kanye and One Direction and Bieber, is that it's this in genre. Showdown,
yeah.
Which that doesn't always happen. There's a lot of times that huge albums within different genres,
it's like Luke Bryan album. Versus Justin Bieber.
Well, how about Luke Bryan versus Dr. Dre right here on our list?
Yes, that happened. That happened earlier this year.
Just this year,
Luke Bryan's "Kill the Lights" came out the same week that Dr. Dre's "Compton," Dr. Dre's first album since "The Chronic,"
yeah.
Right?
The Chronic 2001.
2001. Yes. Yeah. Still like. Almost 15 years ago,
yeah,
or something,
yeah,
ridiculous.
Yeah. Because The Chronic 2001 came out in 1999.
Yeah, thank you.
Which is terribly annoying.
I forget you're hip hop queen.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget that, Keith.
Luke Bryan ended up coming out on top, and Dre settled for runner up. So, or when Kanye and Nicki went head to head back in 2010, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy debuted at number one with 596,000. Nicki Minaj came in second place with Pink Friday. 375,000. Don't cry for Nicki, because about 4 months later, Pink Friday ultimately reached number
ended
one.
Ended up at number one.
But that's kind of
a wonder
unusual.
That Nicki didn't move on that one.
Well, yeah. Who knows? So there's lots of great matchups in history, but it's usually something that the industry tends to avoid, if at all possible.
So we'll have some numbers for you next week.
We'll have some
next
actual
week's
numbers.
Pop Shop.
But now it is time for our interview with Connor Franta.
Yay.
So Connor, who is lovely, by the way, he came into the office actually a number of weeks ago. We've been holding on to this interview for just the right time. He has nearly 3.5 million Twitter followers, 5 million YouTube subscribers. And I want to say he just celebrated his, I think, 5th anniversary on YouTube.
Wow.
So he's been at it for a little bit.
A million for each year. I
mean, celebrate. He actually has his own record label called Herdwell. It's a very small operation, but they put together a basically curated compilation albums that he and other sort of social media influencers put together. And we've actually written about a few of them on Billboard.com.
Yeah,
recently.
We had interviews with Lo Anthony and an interview with Makeup by Mandy, Amanda Steele.
Amanda Steele, makeup queen on YouTube. She's like also 16 or something.
Yeah, 17. It's insane.
These kids
making
these
us all feel bad about ourselves.
So we talked about his label and why he wanted to start a record label. We talked about his involvement with the Thirst Project, which we talked about at the start of the show, where he and his fans have helped raise hundreds of thousands of dollars to build dozens of wells, truly wells, in Swaziland.
That's amazing.
Combined in the past 2 years, this initiative has raised more than $400,000. Which is crazy. We also talked about his common culture brand that involves clothing, music, and coffee. Coffee, he loves coffee. His book, A Work in Progress. And what he thinks of the success of his good friend, some would say best friend. I think he actually calls him his best friend.
Okay, so we can say that unequivocally.
I think we can say that.
BFF.
Troy Sivan. So without further ado, here is our interview with Connor Franta. Hello, Connor Franta.
Hello.
Welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast.
Thanks. Woo. Yay. Cheers in the distance.
Every time I do that, I'm like always like Kermit the Frog. Woo. And anyway, we've never met before.
We have never. This is the first time.
It's the first time.
Very intimate. This is our dating setting.
Yes, yes. Tyler Oakley has actually sat in that chair before.
Wow. Yes. I feel honored.
Yes. I mean, maybe it might have been a different chair.
Oh.
But
then in that case, I don't feel honored.
Yeah, well, never mind. But we're talking to you, we're the royal we. I'm talking to you, Billboard as a
this
whole.
This room is full of people.
Full of people. There's a whole entourage. Connor's entourage is sitting behind me. Actually, there is an entourage sitting behind me.
It's just two people.
Two people. It's just a small, it's an entourage. It's not an entourage. Because Connor has a record label.
I do.
Unlike a lot of YouTubers who put out singles and albums of their own where they sing.
I can't sing.
You can sing. You can. I've seen the video. See? It's amazing. It's sterling.
I am Beyonce.
You're Connor Fierce.
You're like, moving on.
No. But you have a record label, called Heard Well. And it started in July, mm-hmm. With you and I believe your manager.
Yep, my manager and then Jeremy Weinberg, who was our partner on the music side.
And why did you want to start a label? Because as I was saying before, and then we got sidetracked by Beyonce and your dulcet tones.
I tend to do that.
why did you want to do a label as opposed to say, like, you know, let me record a single or let me like play acoustic guitar?
Well, I mean, I've been doing these compilations. That was my third compilation I released this year. And so I've been doing those and it was something that I found that I really liked. But just in general, I really like music and I don't think I necessarily at this point in my life have a talent for creating music. Mm-hmm. But I think I have a pretty decent ear for what I think sounds good. And then right. I have the audience that I like to share that with. So I wanted to kind of take that and turn it into something. And since I'd been doing the compilations with Jeremy Weinberg, who was part of Opus label that I was originally doing this.
I noticed that because I'm like, I think the first compilation that
was
you did wasn't
Opus,
and now it's on Heard Well. I'm like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we all came together, me, my manager Andrew, and Jeremy, and decided that we wanted to turn it into a full-fledged business where we'd use social influencers and have them create their own compilations, kind of connecting social influencers with new up-and-coming talent and kind of giving them a new platform to share their music, essentially. Because mm-hmm. I feel like it's definitely incredibly cutthroat in the music industry as well as any entertainment industry at this point in time, more than ever. And I just kind of want this music to be heard. Like any of the music that's on my Heard Well, I want it to be heard well. Ding. Any of the music that's on my sound effects. Any of the music that's on my
I've got none. There are no sound effects. It's
I'll
just
make
yes. We'll record a bunch of those later and I can just use them as like sort of like free sounds throughout the show.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I tend to do that in my YouTube videos. I'll make my own sound effects but there we go. Any of the music that's on my compilation is music that I thoroughly enjoy and I like love to talk about and I want to promote. So I figure
Why not
it under an official record label?
Have you released any of the compilations on vinyl?
No, but oh my god, I would love it.
That would be cool.
It would.
Because you like
really,
vinyl.
It's just really expensive. So it's like one of those things that you have to decide. And it takes like I think 8+ weeks too, so you have to be really planned.
Yeah, that's why most vinyl never actually comes out the same time as like the CD or a digital album because it takes so much longer to manufacture them.
Yeah, but I would love it. I love vinyl.
You should do a compilation for Christmas, like holiday music or something.
Yes.
Maybe it's too late in the year now to get that going.
It's never too late.
It's never too late.
Never too late for an idea like that.
When did all the sort of like the crazy business stuff really start to happen? Like when you know, was that all like in the past like 2 years or so?
Yeah, about the past 2 years. Wow. I went to business school for 2 years. So I think it, again, has been something that I've been interested in for a long time. And it just kind of is like been in the background. And all of a sudden I was like, oh yeah, I can combine these two passions. Why not?
Wow.
And then 2 years ago, I just started doing that and adding in all these things, all these weird little things.
So there's Heard Well and then there's Common
Common culture.
Common culture, which is sort of a umbrella term
it's kind
for a
of
lot
like
of stuff.
I didn't, yeah, it's kind of like I wanted to step away from my name and likeness and make a separate brand for all my projects. So that's why it's Common Culture Compilation. Lots of C's. Common culture, clothing, common culture.
Well, alliteration
coffee.
Is good.
It the is. It's very hard to say, though, sometimes.
Common culture, common culture, common culture.
Yeah, but it's, but yeah, I've really enjoyed kind of doing that side.
Is
everything
it, what else is part of the common culture universe like
is, as of now it is music, coffee, and clothing. Yeah, and that was just like a one-off thing. Hopefully it'll be more clothing in the future. I did a what's it called, a capsule collection. That's,
oh, that's
another
cool.
C more C's, lots more C's.
Your name's
collection.
Connor, so
yeah,
it all works out.
Gotta roll with it. Yeah. I did a capsule collection with junk food clothing. Yeah, and I did, I designed all that, and then we did like a 48-hour sale or a week-long sale, and yeah, it went really well. So it's a lot of like trying things and seeing if they work, and then it's like, okay, now we're going to go behind the scenes, make it all work for a larger period of time.
It's I think it's just so interesting how, you know, you have folks like Troy Sivan, who is a friend of yours, mm-hmm. Best friend, I believe. Sorry, I may have read portions of your book.
Did you?
Yes, I
what
did.
What think?
I bought it yesterday, actually.
Oh, thank
I know.
You.
A lot of cramming involved.
It's all good.
Well, I wanted to, you know, be more educated, and I didn't realize that Troy was your best friend, and I should have known.
There
that.
We go, taking over the music industry.
And of course, you're pals with Ricky Dillon.
Yep.
And it's so I just immediately thought, I'm like, why aren't you singing? Like,
I really
you can carry a tune. I know you say you can't, but like, I watched the "What Do These Songs Mean" video, and you actually sang a little bit.
Just because I can a little bit, I don't know if that means I should go full fledged.
Oh, there are so many people who can't really sing all that much.
This is true.
But they're able to like. Carve a whole career out of that.
Maybe one day I'll actually give it a go, but as of now it's really not in the plans.
You're going the executive route.
You're giving me the confidence though. I'm like, maybe I can, maybe I'm a superstar.
There you go. Come on. So there's so much music stuff to talk about, but there's also other stuff to talk about, which I'm fascinated by how you did this Thirst Project, which I think is just a funny name.
It's yeah, like, it is.
Thirst is real.
I was like, yeah, no, exactly.
So give me your money.
So convenient.
to you know, help people not have thirst
exactly.
in other countries. Last year, your campaign that you did around your birthday raised $230,000. I've got notes, so it's not like I know this off the top of my head. resulting in the building of 19 wells in Swaziland.
Yeah, I bet you did not know where Swaziland is, because I had no idea.
I don't, actually.
It is, if you look at a map and you go down to South Africa, it's basically within South Africa. It's like a little country within South Africa.
It's one of those weird countries where the country's actually inside another country.
It's, no, honestly. Like,
a country inside a country inside a country.
It's like it's
country.
Being sucked in by South Africa.
And that's why they need water.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly why they need water.
Why was the campaign already set up in that country, and that's... Why did you choose that?
No, so essentially, the Thirst Project was already a thing before me, and it was already doing what it was doing before me, but I was looking for a charity to work with, because I really wanted to start working in that realm, because I had such a big voice, and I have such a big platform that I want to use it for something more than just myself.
Use it for good.
Yeah.
Dude,
and
come on.
Use it for...
I mean, and, seriously.
I know, but seriously.
You've got, like, millions
like,
of followers.
It became, like, such a no-brainer, and then eventually I found the Thirst Project, and I fell in love with the Thirst Project, and they give not only to people in Swaziland, Africa, but they give a bunch of other different countries. But the specific focus in Swaziland is because not only do they need it a lot, mm-hmm. it's more so because the country is so small that it's very obtainable to give the entire country clean water.
I see.
Because the population is around 1.4 million. Wow. So their goal is to give their entire country clean water by, I think, don't quote me on this, 2030 or
if they only had a couple
even,
more
maybe?
YouTubers to make it happen, the
yeah,
entire
they're doing,
country's
I mean, they're doing really
the
well.
Entire country's plumbing will be like funded by like six YouTubers in the United States. All right, some random questions. How excited are you about Troy Sivan's little trilogy that he's put out with the videos?
Incredibly excited, isn't it great? Have you seen the first two?
Yes, and the of second course, yeah. one is like incredibly heartbreaking. And
yeah.
like when he turns,
we'll just get ready for the third.
Oh God!
I mean, of course I've seen it.
He turns around and like that the other dude like grabs her hand. I'm like, no, why? Why?
Love is dead.
Love it.
No, yeah, it's been incredible. I mean, like. It's, I think, everything and more that he hoped for, and I think it's everything and more that his whole community hoped for. Like, for me being a fellow YouTuber, it makes me feel nothing but great things to see my fellow YouTubers doing well.
Right.
So to see him doing so well and see, and to see someone putting out legitimately good content into the world, good music, unbiased good music and good music videos, I think that's great.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see that.
He's super cool. I mean, I haven't actually talked to him. I've had email correspondence.
I'm too cool to talk to him. I mean, he's too cool. Wait, he's too cool for me to talk to him. There we go.
Right. Yeah. You were just in Australia, though, recently, right? Were you on vacation?
Yeah. No, we had a fan fest in Sydney.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like a YouTube put-on event where it's just like a YouTube stage thing, and they have some brands that come, and you like talk to them and stuff. It's cool.
Cool.
Good way to get to Sydney.
I was going to say, I saw the package of his EP that he sent you.
Yes. Which so was, cool, right? The Wild Jumper?
Yes.
Embroidered.
You know.
The little things in life.
You've got the hookup. So I was just going to say, I was going to joke that must mean there should be a duet coming between the two of you.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
I can.
My first single, not only a duet with Troye Sivan.
I think you can make that happen. Though there's probably a lot of, like, you know, hoops to jump through with Capitol Records.
Yeah,
and
probably.
EMI.
The whole management thing.
Right, managers. So many people involved. All right, never mind. What happens in the next year from now? I don't need like your business plan, but like in a year from now, it's like, oh, maybe we could have like a Heard Well like music festival.
I mean,
or,
like, I would,
you know,
I would love to continue expanding the coffee, the music, and the clothing, and kind of house it under one common culture roof, and just like develop those brands. Like, yeah, a Heard Well music festival, or a Heard Well spot in like South by Southwest would be incredible.
Yeah,
A clothing brand that's like in nationwide stores, amazing. Coffee that is like a subscription service that people can kind of get at their leisure, amazing. Like, I would love to just kind of push everything to its fullest limits,
like a curated coffee every month.
There you go.
Hey, there you go. Well, it's been lovely speaking to you, Connor.
Thank you. Thanks for having me,
and thanks for coming in.
Of course.
Thanks again, Connor. It was so cool talking to you, and much success to you in the future with the label.
Absolutely.
Let's get some vinyl from Heard Well. He's a fan of vinyl. Anyway, you know what time it is now, Katie?
What time is it, Keith?
It's time for the chart set of the week.
Yeah. This week's is exciting. I'm excited about this one.
You are.
I love musical theater, so. And hip-hop.
Well, 50 years ago this week, the Sound of Music film soundtrack hit number one on the Billboard 200 chart. It hit number one on November 13th, 1965. The success of the soundtrack followed the chart-topping success of the Broadway stage musicals cast album, which spent 16 weeks at number one earlier in the decade. The film and the stage show's popularity endures, as we all know. The movie was celebrated on the Academy Awards earlier this year by Lady Gaga in a fabulous tribute.
Julie Andrews approved tribute,
which was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I remember watching that after the performance. I'm like, "Where's Julie Andrews? I hope you got to bring Julie Andrews out." And then out comes Julie Andrews. It's like perfect. And of course, in 2013, NBC staged a live version of it, starring Carrie Underwood in the Julie Andrews role. The album, the film soundtrack album, led by, of course, Julie Andrews, spent 2 weeks at number one on the weekly Billboard 200 chart. And it earned a staggering 109 weeks in the top 10.
Wow.
The album was so hot, it was in the weekly top 10 from May 1st, 1965, all the way through July 16th, 1966. And it continued to be a regular, but not quite weekly, presence in the top 10 off and on through early 1968.
Wow.
So basically, if you were buying music sometime in the mid-60s, you probably own the Sound of Music soundtrack.
Yes. Yep.
I love the Sound of Music.
Oh, you love the Sound of Music. You go every year to the Hollywood Bowl sing along.
Yep, the Hollywood Bowl here in Los Angeles. It's a big outdoor venue. I think most major cities have like a big sort of venue like this, where, you know, they do sing alongs and stuff like this. And every year they do a sing-along, and I take a group of friends, we do a picnic, and they do the bouncing ball sort of thing. Well, it's not quite a bouncing ball, the words light up. Anyway, it's amazing.
I'm crashing that party next summer.
You should. You should. Tickets go on sale for groups in January.
All right.
There's a plug for the Hollywood Bowl. Anyway, so
you're welcome, L.A. Phil.
There's your chart set of the week. 50 years ago this week, the Sound of Music soundtrack hit number one on the Billboard 200 chart.
It's shocking that we did not just sing any Sound of Music songs during that entire chart stat. That's me daring you.
Nope. Not gonna. Well, you know what? We'll be back next week, as always, where Chris Stapleton might still be number one. Adele might still be number one on the Hot 100.
Maybe I'll buy Chris Stapleton's album again and make it happen.
You could be helping him twice over. Do you have any parting words?
Just, you know, really looking forward to see how this Bieber 1D showdown turns out. So, till next week.
Well, I think you should pick the song that we should go out on, Katie.
Well, I mean, we should give the people some Sound of Music.
Okay.
I think.
Which song?
Oh, okay. I want something upbeat. How about So Long Farewell? Because it's the end of the show.
So long farewell.
Yes.
Adios and good night.
Yes.
Adieu. All right. We'll see everyone next week. Thanks.
Adieu.
Bye.
So long farewell. I'll be just saying goodnight.
I hate to go and leave this pretty side.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.